And they both laughed. And he said to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question we're looking at. The Lord asks us, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I've been talking to a young man in high school, encouraging to him to repent of his sin, what he was doing. And he told me, Mr. Cummings, you don't understand. It's too hard out there. And I talked to a man who was struggling with depression. He had a fine confession of faith. He was a genuine believer. And yet, at the same time, in his depression, he was contemplating a specific way to commit suicide. And then there was a young woman who was terminally ill, three children. And then we ask ourselves the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord knows that that's a good question for him to ask us. Is anything too hard for me? We come up against things that just are just too hard. Amen? Amen? They're just too hard. And he asks us, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, this morning they were going to look at that different stories in Scripture that are connected to this, that question. There's this question, first there was Abraham, then we're going to look at Jeremiah. The Lord asked him too, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I'd like to read that now. We'll be referring to it later on, but Jeremiah chapter 32, we'll read verses 17 to 27. So could you turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 32, and we'll read verses 17 to 27. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the father's sin into the laps of their children after them. O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men. You reward everyone according to his conduct as his deeds deserve. You perform miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt and have continued them to this day, both in Israel and among all mankind, and have gained the renown that is still yours. You brought your people out of Egypt with signs and wonders by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror. You gave them this land you had sworn to give their forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it and land flowing, the possession of it. But they did not obey you or follow your law. They did not do what you commanded them to do. So you brought all this disaster upon them. See how the siege ramps are built up to take the city because of the sword, famine, and plague. The city will be handed over to the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you said has happened, as you now see. And though the city will be handed over to the Babylonians, O sovereign Lord, say to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witnessed. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? They were going to be destroyed because of their wickedness, yet God tells him to go ahead and buy some land because he's going to bring them back after they're wiped out and destroyed. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So there's Abraham and then there's Jeremiah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then we skip ahead and to when the angel talks to Mary and says, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby. And the angel says, nothing is impossible for the Lord. And then we're going to look at Jesus. He meets a rich man. He likes him, but he doesn't want to give up all his money. When Jesus says he has to do that, and the disciples say, "Well, if a rich man," when Jesus tells them, "It's harder for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven," and Jesus says, "Nothing is impossible with God. You can have the biggest problem in the world holding on to it with all your might. You love it." But nothing is impossible with God. Is anything too hard for God? And then there's this matter of our salvation. Is anything too hard for God? For the Lord? Is it too hard for Jesus to come and die on the cross and rise again from the dead? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And now we're living in the last days, aren't we, before Jesus comes again? And these are terrible times according to the Bible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's that question then. It's a very prominent question in Scripture, isn't it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So, God had made these wonderful promises to Abraham. These wonderful promises about how he was going to bless all his ancestors, all the people that came from him. He told how he was going to be a blessing to all the nations. And yet here he was, 99 years old, and his wife was 89 years old. And the Lord comes to him and says, you're going to have a baby next year. And in chapter 17, he laughed. In chapter 18, his wife laughs at this. And the Lord asks him, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, this was a good question to ask Abraham, because he knew a lot about the Lord. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He wrote it based on an oral tradition, a tradition it was handed down, and it came through Abraham, didn't it? So what we find in these first five books, Abraham knew up to the point where he was. What did he know then? He knew that God had made the world and everything in it, didn't he? Out of nothing. He knew that. He passed it on to Moses. He knew of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. He knew that too. And he knew of God's promise to Adam and Eve that He was going to put enmity between them and Satan. He wasn't going to let Satan just rule their lives from now on. He was going to put enmity between them, and he was going to send someone to crush the power of Satan. Now, Satan is powerful. He is a clever liar. He got Adam and Eve to sin, didn't he? He threatens people. Job was a contemporary of Abraham. And we know what Satan did to him, didn't he? Don't we? He knew of the power of Satan. But he knew the promise that God was going to send someone to crush the power, to crush Satan. Abraham knew that God was in control of all things. He knew that God had authority over everything. He knew that God was present. He even came and talked to him, didn't he? He knew God was present. Remember now, what's some of the history in the first five books and in Genesis before the time of Abraham that shows us that God is in control? God looked down and there was all this wickedness going on. All the thoughts of people's only evil continually. The godly men were marrying women, any woman they wanted, because they were good looking. It was only evil continually. It was so bad what was going on. He sent the flood, didn't he? And wiped them all out except for Noah. God preserved the one righteous man and his family. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God governed. He knew that God knew what was going on, that God was righteous. Abraham knew that. And then he knew what happened after. Well, what was the big event that happened after the flood? Everybody spoke one language. And God had told them to spread out and occupy this world. There's just this little place over there where they're living. And he made this big world for us to enjoy and to make use of and to take care of. And he said to them, go. I want you to spread out. And they came to this nice level plain of Shinar and said, no, we don't want to do that. Let's build a big tower so we can all stay together. And the Lord said, well, they're going to rebel against me. There's nothing that they're not going to stoop to do. And so what did he do? He confused their languages. Now, is God in control? He can give a language, and look at all the languages we have today. He was able to confuse those languages so they couldn't do what they wanted. He governs, doesn't he? He's in control. Is there anything that God can't do? Abraham was a good person to ask that question to, wasn't he? And then the Lord, you know, he cares about us a great deal. He knew Abraham's faith, but he saw also that Abraham needed to be refined. He needed to be tested. Now, there's a big difference between the Lord and Satan. Satan tempts us to get us into trouble, into sin. The Lord tests us to refine us so that we become more convinced, that we grow in our faith in him, in believing in him. And so he told Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac. I want you to sacrifice him on the mountain of Moriah. The next morning, Abraham took his son, 3 days' journey with a couple servants, had some wood with him. His son Isaac was with him. They leave the servants behind to go, and Isaac asks, where's the wood? And what does Abraham say to him? I mean, where's the sacrifice? We had the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. He's to sacrifice his son, but the Lord will provide. And as he raises a knife and is about to offer his son as a sacrifice, the Lord speaks to him and says to Abraham, Abraham, I know now that you trust me. And there's a ram in the bushes behind you. Sacrifice that instead. And Abraham named the place. This is the mountain of the Lord will provide. Abraham then had this history of knowing about of knowing the answer to the question. Why is this a good question for God to ask him? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the Lord refined that in him. The Lord will provide. Now, the Bible tells us, comments on this further in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, who had received the promises. You know, he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he'd received Isaac back from death. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham said, no, God can raise the dead. In a new and a deeper way, he knew that Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He will always provide. Now, don't we experience that? We have one difficulty and there's a bigger difficulty. And we learn a different difficulty, and then we learn in a new way that the Lord will provide. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now let's skip ahead. Well, let's just dwell a little more on this. Abraham believed, Jesus tells us, that God was going to fulfill the promise to Adam and Eve in the garden, that someone from him, one person from him, would crush Satan. Jesus Christ said this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham saw the coming of the one who would crush Satan. Jesus was the one who would crush Satan. Abraham saw that was really going to happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Abraham says, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now let's skip ahead centuries to the time of the prophet Jeremiah that we just read from in chapter 32. He begins by saying, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, an outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And he goes on to talk about how the Lord has loved thousands, punished all those who deserved to be punished and not those who didn't. You reward everyone according to his conduct as his deeds deserve. You brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by miracles, miraculous things. You gave them the land of Canaan. You removed the people from the land of Canaan so they could live there. They didn't listen to you. Time and again you would punish them and they would come back to you. And now the time has come and you sent Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord tells them Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy the city. But I want you to buy a field. Though you're going to go into exile, I'm going to bring everyone back. And when he brings them back, the Lord says they're going to have changed hearts. They're not going to do this thing over again. They'll have learned. Now, the Lord has sent his Holy Spirit, hasn't he? There's changed hearts. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Here are these people that deserve what they were getting. And no people that was taken away like the Israelites were taken away to a foreign country ever came back except for the Israelites. It's a remarkable thing in all of history. They came back. The Lord brought them back. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. Now, let's take another big leap ahead in history. Still keeping in mind, is anything too hard for the Lord? Keep in mind that God promised Adam and Eve he would send someone born of a woman to crush Satan. God had preserved Noah and his family. God had promised a great king descended from David would be born. God punished Israel with exile and he preserved them. Returned them home and they prospered, and he prospered Israel just as he promised, so that they had a singleness of heart and action. And then we read in Luke 1, verses 26 to 37, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary's very troubled at his words, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called a son of the Most High God. The God will give him the throne of your father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary says, asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Her problem is with the fact that she's a virgin. She knows what God has promised to do. She doesn't question that. He's promised to send this person, but I'm a virgin. How can this be? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he says this, the angel says to her, for nothing is impossible with God. Is anything too difficult for God? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, typically, Americans love, what's the next word? What do Americans typically love? Americans typically love money. New York City, when the settlers first came, it was 14 years before they built a church. They were out there to make money. And when the church is New York City, it's the financial capital of the world. In terms of people devoted to making money, we're world beaters at that. Now, the church that they, the name of the church after they'd been there for 14 years and built this church, they named it St. Nicholas, which is another name for Santa Claus. There's just, you see how the love of money, the love of something, came between a devotion to the Lord, of looking for Him to provide. They loved and they went after it. Now, the Bible, what does the Bible tell us about money? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You put money before the Lord, you go after that money, you do things to get that money that the Lord says don't do, and it's the root of all kinds of evil. Now, can God change this? Can God change us when we are set on embracing something that we shouldn't be embracing rather than embracing Him? Can the Lord change that? Well, a man came to Jesus one day and said, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus asked him, well, what do you ask me about? Why do you ask me about what is good? And Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones, the man said? So Jesus said, well, you're to don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor and yourself. And he says, all these I've kept. No problem. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, you need to go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the man turns away, says, that's the last he's going to, that's enough I got. That's not the answer I wanted. I'm not going to live with that answer. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to the disciples, what's Jesus going to teach them about this experience with this man, this conversation that they witnessed? I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished. Well, who then can be saved? If rich people can't be saved, then who can be saved? People look up to rich people. People think well of rich people. Well, if the rich people can't be saved, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. No matter what it is, money's just one example. If we're holding on to it, God can change the sinner's heart, can't he? He can save from the, I like that phrase, from the guttermost to the uttermost. He can save that thing that we embrace, that's deep-seated in us. Can Jesus save hard-headed people that put the wrong things first? The answer is yes. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't that a good question to remember? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When we're frustrated with what's going on around us, other people, is anything too hard for the Lord? If we're frustrated with ourselves and something that's deep in us, is anything too hard for the Lord? When we're frustrated with the world at large, we ask, isn't that a good question? That the Lord asks us, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for me? We have hope in the Lord. Now, was it too hard for Christ to die on the cross for our sins? Thank you. Well, it was hard, wasn't it? Father, if it's possible, he prayed in the garden, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. My God, he said on the cross, why have you forsaken me? It was hard, wasn't he? He bore our sins. He never sinned himself. He died a shameful, painful death on the cross. And he was mocked the whole time. Come down, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross. You saved others, but you can't save yourself. And yet, by dying on the cross, he became what? The perfect Lamb of God, who atoned for the sins of the world, who took away our sins. Was anything too hard for the Lord? He did rise from the dead, didn't he? He did ascend to heaven. He now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he is Lord of lords and King of kings, where he listens to all of our prayers and intercedes for us with the Heavenly Father anytime, day or night. We ask for forgiveness, he hears us. Something's too hard for us, we ask him, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. And from heaven, he teaches us, he speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. He gives us answers so that nothing is too hard for the Lord. He speaks to us, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He reveals to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, we're living in the last days before Jesus comes again. Now, what are these last days like, according to the Lord? Well, one thing he says is, it's the harvest age. He says, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. It was referring to his death on the cross. He died on the cross, and he's drawing people all over the world to himself. It's not just the Jewish nation he's dealing with. It's all kinds of people, speaking all kinds of languages, all kinds of ages, all kinds of wealth and lack of wealth. He's drawing all men to himself. It is the harvest age. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but that doesn't mean these are good times. These last days are also difficult times. While he is sowing the word, and people are coming to him, and they're like wheat in a field growing, Satan is also sowing his nonsense, and his nonsense doesn't grow good wheat. It grows weeds. And what does he do during these last days? He allows the weeds to grow along with the wheat. That doesn't make for a good-looking field for the farmer, does it? But that's what he's doing. And then that's until he comes again when he sends his angels. They're going to gather up the weeds and burn them. And the good and the grain, those who trust in him and believe in him, will take to be with him in heaven. But until he comes, it's the harvest age and good things are happening, but there's a lot of trouble. And he says that there's going to be, he spells it out with this trouble, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be wars, and there's going to be rumors of more wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be problems within the environment during these last days till he comes again. They're going to be false prophets, people who lead people down wrong paths, turn them from the faith so that they hate each other, create all kinds of problems. The Apostle John, the book of Revelation, tells us about Satan. In the last days, Revelation 12, verse 17, the dragon rages against the church and makes war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Satan then is very active in making war against us. And remember, he's a liar of all liars, and lying gets it. People believe lies, and they're bad lies. They're meant to get us into trouble. They're not meant to do us good. And Satan is there. He's a roaring lion. He puts in threatening situations. People's lives are threatened and sometimes taken because they love the Lord. Jude tells us, in the church things are going to be bad. There's going to be all kinds of bad people within the church of Jesus Christ. People who speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. But don't be surprised. In the last times, Jesus Christ said to you, there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, who do not have the Spirit. What are you to do? Jude tells us, contend for the faith. Raise the battle cry to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. We're to resist Satan. Raise the battle cry. What's the point? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Christ tells us the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people out there waiting, needing the gospel. He's prepared their hearts to receive it. But the workers are few. So in these last days, we're to ask the Lord to send out workers into the harvest. And yet, Jesus says, go, I'm sending you like lambs out to wolves. Okay? We're lambs. He sent out, it's wolves out there. But then he tells us this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you're lambs, you're going out to wolves, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, until Jesus comes again. There's no time when I won't be with you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What does God's Word say? God's Word says there isn't anything that's too hard for the Lord. He can save us. And once we're saved, we're always saved. But he also can provide for us, can't He? All that we need. He promises, if you confess your sin, whatever it is, I will forgive you your sins, He will forgive us our sins, and purify us of all unrighteousness. Yes, the world is a hard world. It's too hard, Mr. Cummings. It's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. But what does Jesus say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Never will I leave you or forsake you, Jesus says. And yet, what's a song that we can sing? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And the second verse says that Jesus died for me and saved me. The next verse says that when I'm weak and ill and there's all sorts of, I can't do anything for myself, I'm just weak, I'm sick, I can't make myself well, I can't, it's what life is beyond me, that's not too hard for the Lord. And that when I approach the gates of heaven, my death isn't too hard for the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He takes care of me, doesn't He? In every situation. So we can sing a song. And I don't know that you've heard this song. My mother taught it to me when I was a little kid. I can't remember when she taught it to me. Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er, that means sheltered over, completely safe. Sheltered o'er in His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, nor foes alarm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. God has this wonderful hand that never lets us go, that protects us, that no one can take Him from us, no one can snatch us from Him. We're safe, safe, safe. And then we can also sing that song we sang earlier. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, is all that I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption, full and sure, He is all that I need. He redeemed me when He died. And glory, glory to Him, He's all that I need. Now, if you've never believed on Him today, ask yourself the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Can He forgive you your sins? Is it true if you trust the Lord with all your heart and acknowledge Him that He will take care of you? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He can save you. He says, come to me, all you that are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Confess your sins. Believe what I've done for you. Now, if you're His child this morning, if you know the Lord, why, let's go from here asking ourselves the question when we come up against it, is anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't that a good question that God asked Abraham, that He asked Jeremiah? That Mary was confronted with, that we're confronted with in this world, this difficulty, we embrace things, we hold on to things, get ourselves into trouble. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And isn't it wonderful to know what the answer is? No, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He will provide. He will provide. He will take care of you. Our Father in heaven, we pray now that that this question will be one that we hear when we're challenged, and we hear when we're up against it, when we hear when our minds go wrong places, when we hear when there's just difficulty, it just is overwhelming. Help us to remember then all that you've done for us in our Savior's name, and to look to you for help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together, number, be up here, but also in your hymnals, number 281.